Good to have you here with us. The ones that's online, good to have you all here too. Just got a few things we want to bring to your attention on our announcements, the things that may not be on here. We want to start out with expressing our sympathy to Donnie Dowling on the passing of his uncle, George Justice. Also on our sick list, Milton Weaver, which is brother-in-law of Thax Boner, is in Summit Hospital, room 722, and he's had a stroke, and we'll add this to our bulletin. Also, Doug Parrish is at home now. Want to remind everybody about our communion kits. It'll be out here from 8:30 to 9:30 on Sunday morning. And our upcoming events, the Trunk or Treat, October 30th. We have a sign-up sheet in the back. If you don't mind, sign up for that. Also, I've got a card from the Coleman family that I will put in the back and our window here for everybody to read. Also, we got this morning, Teresa Smith has given me a couple of people here that she would like to have special prayer for. Jill DeVette, am I saying that right? Is in Summit Hospital with a brain aneurysm, and that is aunt-in-law to her son, Adam. Also, Keith Carden is a brother to her best friend, is having may have some cancer mass in his neck. So we're going to have a special prayer for them too. Did I overlook anything from anybody, or has anybody got anything else that I need to bring up? If not, we'll have a special prayer for these two right now. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day and all of our many blessings. We thank you for the avenue of prayer that we have to come to thee to bring these two people to your attention, Heavenly Father, that you will be with the doctors and nurses that wait on them, and that they will know what to do at the exact time that needs to be done, Heavenly Father. We ask you to be with this service as we go through this today. Pray that everything be acceptable to thee, and forgive us of our sins. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Echo Tim's good morning. Good to see everybody out this morning. Number on the back, 797 will be our first song. Our order of worship, we'll sing two songs. We'll have our scripture reading and our opening prayer. That'll be Brother Jack Sims and opening prayer by Alan Tackett. Doug Ferguson will bring us the message of the hour. We'll have the Lord's Supper brought by Adam Sparks and Bobby Tigner, I have listed for our closing prayer today. We'll sing all three verses.
Onward rejoicing, I tread life's way. Higher I'm climbing each passing day. Hilltops of glory now rise in view, where all shall be made new. Hilltops of glory I now can see. Oh, brother, won't you come go with me? Safe on the mountain I soon shall stand. Hilltops of glory land, way down in Egypt, mid burning sand, Moses had started for Canaan's land. Never turn backward, always ascend, on to the journey's end. Hilltops of glory I now can see. Oh, brother, come go with me, safe on the mountain I soon shall stand, hilltops of glory land. Footsteps of Jesus before us lead, we trust.
487. Number 487. After this song, we have our scripture reading and our opening prayer.
How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than to you he has said, you who unto Jesus for refuge have fled. Fear not, I am with thee, O be not dismayed. I am thy God, and will still
scripture this morning be from Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 27. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell. And great was its fall.
Let's pray together. Father, we're so grateful to be your children, so grateful that you've had mercy on us and grace on us. Father, at this time, we're so happy and grateful to come before you. Lord, we know there's so many right now who are sick and who are struggling, and people who need help, people who need encouragement. Father, we know that this mission you've given us in our life is one that we need to be held accountable for. We know that on the day of judgment, you'll come and you'll hold us accountable for the things you've asked us to do. Father, encourage us to go out and reach out to them, be a comfort to them, be a helping hand any way we can. Father, I pray today as we learn more about you, we worship you and glorify you, that you're proud of who we are and what we're doing. Father, I pray that when you come back, you find us faithful and working and waiting on you. I pray this in Jesus' name. Yeah. Amen.
Our invitation song is going to be number 572. If you're using the book and you want to have that marked, it'll be I Surrender All, 572. And the number he's got posted up there on the back is our current one, number 266. Not a step will I take without Jesus. If you will, please, let's stand as we sing verses 1, 2, and 3.
Not a step will I take without Jesus is the vow that my heart has made. And I often am tempted to leave him, yet unto him my heart is stayed. Not a step will I take, not a step without him will I go. make without Jesus as I travel along life's way. Though temptations may be all around me, I will follow my Lord each day. Not a step will I take, not a step without Him will I go. He will lead me along to that beautiful home over there. Not a step will I take without Jesus. Where He leads, I can never stray from the path that will lead me to glory, to that land of eternal day. Not a step will I take, not a step without Him will I go. He will lead me along to that beautiful home over there.
Thank you. Please be seated.
So thankful that you're tuning in live stream. So thankful that you're here in attendance with us today. We encourage you to turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 7 and the text that was so capably read for us. I know that most of us are very familiar with this text. And I encourage you as well, this evening, Brother Allen will be bringing us a lesson diving more into the Old Testament prophecies concerning this section of Scripture. You'll find out that Ezekiel, Jeremiah, and Isaiah, some of the major prophets, they all use this language to prepare people and get them ready for up-and-coming disasters or storms. The language they use for destruction or disasters is storms. And Jesus wants us to be prepared and ready for whatever life may throw at us. Now, this certainly touches close to home, does it not? 2020 has been a year that has been full of many catastrophes and disasters. I mean, just one that's more universal and all of us are trying to work and make adjustments through is the coronavirus. Now, who would have predicted 2020 would have had a global virus that kills many people and isolates us and the sufferings that the individuals have to go through? What about earlier this year? One that may be a little bit closer to home. One night, I was laying in bed and randomly got up for no particular reason. The baby wasn't crying and none of the kids had gotten up. Megan didn't wake me up, nothing like that. I just randomly got up, decided to go into the kitchen, get a glass of water, saw some lightning outside, heard the dog barking a little bit, went outside, checked on the weather, and it was a little bit windy, but nothing severe, nothing that I hadn't seen before. I go back to bed, didn't even get the kids up, didn't even put them in a position to be protected or safe, and thought everything would be fine. Woke up the next morning, and there was devastation in our area. Lives have been lost. Who could have predicted that? I certainly didn't. I wasn't ready for that. I was not ready for the disaster that we faced. Jesus does not want us to be unprepared. He wants us to be ready. He wants us to be ready for when the storms of life or for when destruction and disaster occurs. When it comes upon us, He wants us to be ready for any impending destruction or wreckage that may be up ahead for us. Maybe it wasn't a virus. Maybe it wasn't a tornado. Some of us faced other hardships. You lost loved ones. You lost jobs. Maybe you had other issues that you faced, and you're saying, okay, look, I've had a rough year. I know that you're telling us in this section of Scripture, we must be ready, we must be prepared. How do I do that? How do I get ready? I don't know what to do. And here's the good news. You and I may not know what to do, but Jesus does. And he tells us precisely how to get ready for the next disaster, for the next storm in life. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them will be likened to a wise man who built his house on the rock. So Jesus said, if you want to get ready for the next disaster, if you want to get prepared for the next storm in life, you must do what Jesus says to do. This doesn't mean that we just listen to him and we just hear what he has to say. Jesus said, you have to take it a step further and you have to do what I say. We must be doers of the word. We're all very familiar with the James text in James chapter 1 that tells us that we can't be hearers only, deceiving ourselves, but we must be doers of the word. This comes out of our last study. Last Sunday night, we talked about the resurgent church. We must be active. We must have the right perspective and right outlook. We're rising again from the devastation. We're rising again from 2020's destruction. The church, universally, maybe here in our area, is suffering. I knew that this would have its effects on us. Maybe we were a little too unprepared. This morning, I encourage you with this lesson. Let's start getting ready. We can do that by heeding the words of Christ. That's what Jesus is encouraging us to do. Let's hone it in a little bit in this lesson, because you might be saying, okay, I know I need to hear the words of Jesus, but if you were in the first century and you were in that audience, what specifically would you have heard which would have made you wise, which would have helped you to get ready for the next storm? Well, Jesus lists it for us in this section of Scripture. He's talking about the sermon itself. Here I don't want to go through the entire sermon again, but I encourage you sometime this week, maybe tonight if you have opportunity, or sometime this week, go through this entire sermon and list the things you're struggling with. And start working on those. Put what you read in the Scripture into action. Start doing the words of Jesus. You might say, okay, well, what should I be looking at in the Sermon on the Mount? Go through the entire Beatitudes. Go through the Beatitudes. Well, what do the Beatitudes talk about? Look at Matthew chapter 5 in verse 3. Matthew chapter 5 in verse 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit. You've heard it. You know what Jesus is saying. How do you implement it? This verse is talking about our dependence upon God. Actively depending upon God. We build our life according to God's word. We're all spiritually bankrupt. We need to hear the words of Christ and begin to put them into life activities. That's what Jesus is encouraging us to do in this verse. So we've discovered that in the past, how we can implement our dependence upon God. We can pray more, we can read more, we can engage in activities and events in the church, and we need to do more outreach. These are just some simple ways that you can depend upon God even more. How about this? Rejoice, verse 12, verse 11 and 12. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Here's what we're to implement. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward. So Jesus is telling us when you're persecuted, when you're reviled, when individuals are mistreating you, rejoice and be glad. You might say, that's just too much. Well, if you're a wise person, you'll put that into action. You will do those things. Jesus tells us, do not resist an evil person. Love, bless, do good, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. He goes on to Matthew chapter 6, and he taught us to practice our righteousness. We need to give more. We need to be praying more. And what's the last one that he mentions there? Fasting more. Let me ask you a question. Don't raise your hand. But ever since we talked about fasting, who's been practicing fasting? For spiritual reasons, not for doctor appointments. Often we say, all right, well, I fasted last week. I fasted for 24 hours. I couldn't have any food, just liquids. That's not the same thing. But for spiritual reasons, maybe there was a concern. Maybe there's a loved one. Maybe there's concern within this congregation. Did you fast for those reasons? A wise man would. What would a foolish man do? He would have heard it. He would have been very familiar with that lesson we covered. And what would he have left saying? There's no way. There's no way. The wise man does the word. He puts it into real life action. What else did we cover throughout this? Storing up your treasures in heaven. We discussed how we can do that even better. Talked about not judging people, using hypocritical judgment. A wise man would not judge people hypocritically. These are the things that will help get us ready for the up and coming storm in life that we face. This is what helps us get ready for whatever catastrophes or disasters that we may face. If we're going to be wise, if we're going to be fruitful, we have to do more than just listen and hear sermons and Bible lessons and to do Bible studies. We must put it into action. Be doers. Doers are merciful. They're peacemakers. They're forgivers. They're perfect, just like their Father in heaven is perfect. That's what they do. Now turn back to Matthew chapter 7 and let's look at verse 25. Matthew chapter 7, verse 25. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall because it was founded on the rock. You might be thinking, wait a second, I'm a Christian. You know, I've been practicing all these things that we've been discussing. I've been practicing being merciful, being meek, putting my power under control. I've been not judging people hypocritically. I've been doing all these things you've asked me to do. I've been relying upon God and being content with the food and clothing I have. I've been doing these things. I've been storing up my treasures in heaven. And I thought bad things wouldn't happen to me. That's not what the text says. This disaster came upon who? The wise man. In other words, this storm that came upon him, it was unavoidable. There was no way he was going to get around it. It was going to happen to him in his life. And that's what Jesus is trying to tell us here. The only difference between the two individuals is that one does. The wise man does what he hears. The foolish man, which we're going to discover here in a moment, he does not. But as followers of Jesus, as wise followers, we need to realize a truth in life is that we face hardships. We face disasters. We face storms. And if 2020 has taught us anything, it's taught us to be more prepared for anything that can come upon us, for the next storm in life. It does not exempt us from having trouble in life. On the wise man's house, the rain still came in, the water still rose, the flood still came, the wind still blew and beat on his house. So no matter what we do, we are not exempt from suffering. So what was the benefit for being wise? Endurance. Survival. His house did not fall. And the reason for that is because it was built on the rock. It's unavoidable. Disasters will come. Catastrophes will happen. Tragedies will come. We can't get away from them. But are you going to be prepared for it? Are you going to get ready? Are you going to build your life on the rock? Will you be wise? Will you be ready to weather the storms in life? During this conversation that Jesus is having with the people, the next big catastrophe, the next big event in their life that Jesus is consistently trying to get them ready for, and Alan is going to touch on this tonight as well from Matthew chapter 24. But it's something that I don't think we emphasize enough. So when you read through the Bible, this is something that has the background throughout the entire New Testament. I mean, when you go back and you reread Hebrews chapter 10 and you look at verse 25 and what that specific day is that he's talking about a great storm coming on these people. And Jesus is telling them, he's predicting, he's letting them know, this is what's going to happen in your lifetime. You will be facing this. And their great catastrophe that was heading their way, their big hurricane storm, was the destruction of Jerusalem. Now, the benefit of the destruction of Jerusalem for us, in a way, looking back at it in hindsight, is that it was the completion of inspiration, revelation, and confirmation of the Scriptures. After that, there were no more miraculous events. After that, we had no more biblical inspiration or revelation from God. It was the completion of that. It was the final piece in the puzzle to bring us the new covenant that we have with God. But this thing was devastating. So you have political turmoil taking place between the Jew and the Gentile, between the Jewish religious system and the Roman government system. And it's almost like putting a Mentos into a 2-liter Coke. What happens when you put Mentos into a 2-liter Coke and you close the lid? It explodes. Jesus sees what rebellion and hatred towards one another is producing, and he's trying to get the people ready for it. Does this not sound like 2020? Political turmoil, hatred between brother and sister, between neighbors. There's a great divide, there's a great division happening. And Jesus is telling the people, you need to get ready for it. I know what this leads to. A storm is on its way. Get ready. Don't be caught off guard. The wise man builds his house on the rock. This is much more than just a children's song. On the way into church, Juliet just randomly started singing this song. And I thought, man, if they understood the depth of this, how important this is for everyone, be wise. Wake up. Pull your head out of the sand. Don't be an ostrich. See what's taking place around you. Get ready. Why? The storm is unavoidable. It's coming. It always will. Whether this is universal like we talked about, whether it's just in our community, or whether it's personal and it's in our own lives, are you ready for the next disaster or next tragedy? Look at verses 26 and 27. The wise man does, the foolish man does not. This text couldn't be any more clear and any more simple and plain. Again, both of these individuals hear the exact same message. They hear the same words. One man goes, I'm going to practice this and I'm going to do it. The other man hears things like be merciful, turn the other cheek, fasting, and he says, there's no way I'm going to do those things. If someone slaps me on the right cheek, I am not turning the other cheek. I'm going after them. I get people back. I retaliate. I respond negatively. I do what people want me to do and not what God asks me to do. The foolish man is very selfish. He's very arrogant and prideful. He heard the words of Christ and he decided, I'm not going to put these things into practice. I'm not going to do them. And again, if you want to go back through the text, even when Jesus said, choose the narrow gate, choose the difficult pathway, the foolish man said, I'm not choosing anything. I'm going to do what I want to do. Well, you're going to go down the broad way, and your life is going to be filled with a lot of rotten fruit. So when the scriptures talk about beware of false teachers, they're like, there are no false teachers. That's a first century context. Beware of false prophets. Yeah, it's talking about prophets. It's not talking about teachers. The foolish man does not respond. He does not do what God asks him to do. He did not take seriously that a storm was on its way. Disaster was coming. It was ahead of him. And since this man did not prepare himself, since he did not take seriously what Christ had said, since he did not care to practice secretly his charitable deeds, but he went out and sounded a trumpet to let everyone know all the good that he had done. He produced all this bad fruit. He scoffed at Jesus' commands. Instead of building his house on the rock to survive the storm, the foolish man built his house on the sand. And let's read what Jesus says happens to him. Verses 26 and 27. Everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell. And look at the language he uses here. Great was its fall. The same storm came to both individuals. The same storm was unavoidable for both people or parties. It still hit both of them. The only difference between the two of them is one got ready and the other one didn't. The other difference is one withstood the devastation. His house did not fall, and the other one had a great fall. This morning, you're going to fall into one of two categories. You're either going to be like a wise man who takes seriously what you hear this morning. Not just my words, but you take seriously that you need to go back and look at Christ's words and get ready. Or you're going to forget all about this sermon and you're going to go about your business. And you're going to do exactly what you want to do. I'm not trying to be a Debbie Downer. I'm not trying to depress anyone, and I'm also not trying to be a prophet and predict the future. But I guarantee you this. Disaster will strike. Hardships will come. A storm is on its way. Now, when that happens, I don't know. But it will happen. And the only thing we can do is get ready for it. Jesus likes to use this language about choosing the narrow way, the broad way. He gives us his method is to give us options. You can either be wise, you can be foolish, You can produce good fruit or you can produce bad fruit. You can choose the narrow gate or you can choose the broad way. And Jesus closes another sermon or speech with his disciples in the same kind of fashion. Turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25. And this comes off the heels of Matthew chapter 24. And he's discussing two different days. One is the destruction of Jerusalem. And he uses terminology in the plural. These days, this is what things are going to be like. And they need to get ready for that great storm that's coming upon them. And then he switches and he starts talking about a specific day. And this specific day, we also need to take very seriously because it's representative of a big storm coming. And this day that's coming ahead of us, which is unavoidable, it's inevitable, none of us are going to be able to escape it, is called Judgment Day. Judgment Day is coming. And on that day, you're going to go down the narrow path or the wide path. You're either going to be a person who produced good fruit or bad fruit. You're a person that's going to either be wise or foolish. Jesus says it this way. On that day, I'm going to make a separation. I'm going to put the goats on one side and the sheep on the other. Matthew chapter 25, look at verse 31. Matthew 25, verse 31. When the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the holy angels with Him, then He will sit on the throne of His glory. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And He will set the sheep on His right hand and the goats on His left. Then the King will say to those on His right hand, the sheep, the wise, the ones who produce good fruit, those who took the narrow pathway, He's going to say to those, come, you blessed of My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave. In other words, you didn't just hear My sayings, but you put them into practice. You did them. You were like a wise man. You got ready for this specific day. You built your life on a rock, and you're blessed. And I want you to enter into the eternal inheritance. And they're going to ask this question. They're going to say, when did we see you a stranger or naked or clothe you? In verse 39, when did we see you sick or in prison? Verse 40, He will answer them, surely I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these My brethren, you did it to Me. That's the sheep. Those are the ones who put into practice the words of Christ. What about the other group? What about the foolish man who decided to not do anything with the words of Christ? What about the ones who followed the false teachers and produced a lot of bad fruit and decided just to take the selfish path and go the broad way? What's going to happen with those goats? Verse 40, the king will answer and say to them, verse 41, then He will also say to those on His left hand, depart from Me, you cursed into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you did nothing. You gave no food. You gave no clothing. You did not come and visit Me. You were not concerned with the words of Christ. God has fixed a day. It's one that is certain and it is sure. What can we do about this impending disaster that's coming our way? Be wise. Be wise. Build your life on the words of Christ. Jesus will be your shelter. Then you can endure and survive that storm. This morning, if you're not a Christian, we encourage you to do the words that Jesus commands us to do. And one of the final if you want to say, steps. I don't even really like to refer to it as steps, but I think it's a good way for us to try to understand it. The last thing that Jesus tells us to do where we contact the blood of His Son is to be baptized for the remission of sins. That's where you and I die, and then we're risen to this new life. And since we're risen to this new life, now we live in God's wisdom. You live as Christ lived. And that future is bright and it's eternal and it's good. It's one that gets to stay with God forever. You're reconciled. You have this relationship with Him. You're a wise person. The foolish, like I said, do I really have to get baptized? I think Jesus probably meant something else. You know what? I did everything else He asked, but you know what? I just neglected this one part. I didn't take seriously all the commands. There's a great day coming. Wise man gets ready, and he responds. And I encourage you to respond to the invitation during this time. If you need to be baptized or you need to repent of sins, you can come forward as we stand and we sing.
Supper, we're going to sing number 533 and sing the first three verses of Nearer Still Near. Hold me, oh, hold me.
prepare to take the Lord's Supper, if you would turn to Matthew 26. Matthew 26. We often read Matthew 26 at this time. I think sometimes we don't necessarily pair what we're about to read, what we often read, with the verses immediately after, and I want us to bring our attention to that. Matthew 26, I'll start where we often start, in verse 26 of Matthew chapter 26. While they were eating, Jesus took some bread, and after a blessing, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And when he had taken a cup and given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for forgiveness of sins. But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." After singing a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Verse 31. Then Jesus said to them, "You will all fall away because of me this night, for it is written, I will strike down the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered. But after I have been raised, I will go ahead of you to Galilee." But Peter said to him, "Even though all may fall away because of you, I will never fall away." Jesus said to him, "Truly I say to you that this very night, before a rooster crows, you will deny me three times." Jesus has given us some insight into conflicting, maybe overlapping thoughts in his head. We all have these. We may have had them in the last hour or so. We sing a song, but sometimes we'll have a little bit of a flash of a thought of what do I eat? What am I eating for lunch today? We're trying to focus in our classes, and we may have a thought of what chores am I going to try to get accomplished today? We have competing thoughts. We have multiple thoughts in our head at the same time. Jesus, at this point, takes his thoughts out and lays them out into words. He tells us what he's thinking in the moment that he institutes the Lord's Supper. And here's what he's thinking. I'm about to give my life, but these people are still going to be ungrateful. They're at times going to be unappreciative. They're going to deny me. They're going to betray me. They're going to use my name falsely. They're going to worship me, but then they're going to sin against me. And then they're going to crawl back time after time seeking forgiveness. Imagine giving your life and knowing in the moment that you're giving your life that it will be forgotten 5 minutes later. If we understand that Jesus had that thought in his head as he was giving his life and as he was instituting this Lord's Supper, we may understand 0.1% of the love that it took for him to still go to the cross. Because he knew in that moment how they, and many times us, will regard that sacrifice. He knew that the people that he was dying for would still be ungrateful, would still be unappreciative, would still deny, would still betray him, would still sin against him, and he went anyway because he knew he had to, because that's how they were and how we are. And if we understand that, we understand why, in Christ's infinite wisdom, he commanded us to remember this so frequently that maybe we would not forget. Let us try our best to remember at this time. Let us pray. Lord God, our Father, Lord, please focus our minds and help us remember. Lord, help us see an event that we didn't witness, but that we know occurred. Lord, we know in the faith that you've granted us that that did occur, that you sent your Son, that he lived a sinless life, that he died in a torturous death, and he did it for us. Lord, thank you for the wounds that were inflicted on him. Thank you for the grit and the courage and the love that it took for him to get through those. Lord, thank you in your wisdom, in your prophecies, in your plan, Lord, that you laid out that path that we can have forgiveness. Lord, please be with us and help us take this and remember as we should. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, our Father, Lord, thank you for sending Christ, knowing that he would die, knowing that he would suffer that pain. Lord, thank you for sending him. Lord, thank you for the blood that was shed. Lord, thank you for all the symbolism and the understanding that we have in your scripture of how significant that blood was. Lord, please be with us that we're grateful. Lord, please direct our minds at this time to remember. Lord, please direct our minds also throughout the week to remember that sacrifice. Without it, we would have no hope of salvation and no assurance of salvation. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Completely separate from the Lord's Supper, this is a convenient time to have a prayer and giving. There are baskets in the back. You can give if you haven't on your way out. Let us pray for all that God has given us. Lord God, our Father, thank you for the many blessings you've given us, so many we know, so many others that we don't. Lord, thank you above all else for your guidance, for your word, for your blessings, for your mercy and grace and patience with us. Lord, thank you for Christ that died on the cross for our sins. Lord, there are so many things that you've provided us to get through this life, to get through our time on earth. Lord, we thank you for all those. Lord, for our health, for the jobs that we have, for the families that we have. Lord, please be with all those that are suffering in grief and in poor health. Lord, please bring them back to be more able to worship you, to be in your presence, to be in the presence of your people. Lord, thank you so much for all you've provided us. We deserve none of it, Lord. Please be with us that we give back, and we do so with open hearts and understanding that all things are yours, none are ours. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
I look up and I see Tim walking around. I'm wondering if he's coming up here with another announcement. I think we're good. If you can be here this evening, please be here this evening. If you can't be here this evening, you can be online. Please be online. We'll have services again tonight at 5 o'clock. Number 249 is a song that is relatively new, and I'm hopeful that my youth down here, our youth department, our youth section, if you're under 30, I know you probably know this song pretty well, but this is a little fast-paced song. It's an upbeat song. We've had a couple of slower songs that, you know, songs in the book, every one of them has its own meaning. As a song leader, you try to think, well, we're going to start with a upbeat song. We're going to try to end with an upbeat song. We're going to have songs that are going to be songs of contrition. We're going to try to reflect more on the Lord's Supper. They may be slower, bring our minds to attention of things. If you will, please let's stand as we sing this. Firm Foundation. It's got two verses in it. I knew where we were going. I didn't know exactly where the scripture was going to go, but I knew that those the wise man and the foolish man, those two houses had some foundations to them. So we've sung a few songs today on foundations. Our closing prayer be by Brother Bobby over there.
Jesus, you're my firm foundation. I know I can stand secure. Jesus, you're my firm foundation. I put my hope in your holy word. I put my hope in your holy word. I have a living hope. I have a future. plan for me. Of this I'm sure, of this I'm sure. Jesus, you're my firm foundation. I know I can stand secure. Jesus, you're my firm foundation. I put my hope in your holy word. I put my hope in your holy word. Your word is faithful, mighty with power. God will deliver me. I'm sure, Jesus, you're my firm foundation. I know I can stand secure. Jesus, you're my firm foundation. I put my hope in your holy word. I put my hope in your holy word.
Our God and our Father, we thank you for this day and its many blessings. Father, we are mindful of those of our number that are out with illness. We pray, Father, you'll bless them, that they might have complete and speedy recoveries, that they may be able to be back with us. Father, we pray for this congregation, for the love which they have of your word, that the gospel might spread from this place. Father, we pray for our elders and the decisions that they make, may they always be in accordance with thy will. Father, we would ask that you'd watch over us, that you'll guide and direct our steps. Help us, Father, to always realize that in face of temptation, you provide a way of escape if we will look for it. Father, we pray that we'll always consider your words as we make decisions of our lives. We pray, Father, that you will watch over and protect us. Guide and direct our steps. It's our prayer in Christ's name. Amen.